Good morning. Will you turn to Psalm 30, please? Psalm 30. This is called Why Give Thanks? Israel's Three Thanksgivings. Would you describe yourself as regularly thankful to God? Would the people around you who know you well, would they describe you as somebody who often thanks God? Would we describe our church as a thankful church? I don't know. Some ways, yes, and not unusually so. Thanksgiving is not my natural response to God. But the Bible says a lot about thanks. So God has been calling me this way a long time, and that certainly happened again this week. Why would we thank God for what he's done for us? Why would we do that? There are two reasons floating around in Scripture that we will talk about today. Two reasons to thank God. One, to reciprocate his faithfulness, and the other is to educate ourselves. So one, we give thanks to reciprocate, to give God his due. God has been good to us, and so we thank him. We owe him thanks by providing for us, for our bodies and our souls, our present life and our eternal life. He has earned our thanks. And what I have come to see is that when we thank God, he considers himself repaid. He keeps providing for us, and we keep thanking and praising him for what he gives. And the relationship carries on like that eternally. And that is right at the core of God being our God and we being his people. The relationship carries on, and by not thanking him, we ignore our side of the relationship. So that's how we reciprocate. We thank him because he's earned it and we owe it. We also thank God to educate ourselves by facing reality. God provides so faithfully that we lose touch. We forget how much we receive from him and we get foolish. We get a lopsided view of how we relate to God and what it is exactly that makes life work. So let's go over these two reasons again, and this time from Scripture. So we thank God to reciprocate, which is what we learn from Psalm 30. I'm going to start in verse 8. Psalm 30, verse 8. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. So this prayer bargains with God. What will you gain, Lord, if I am silenced? I will praise you if I live, but I can't if you let me die. Will the dust praise you and proclaim your faithfulness? No, it won't. But if you help me and keep me alive, I will proclaim your faithfulness and I will praise you. See, the psalmist knows he has something God wants. He can do something God wants him to do. He can praise God and proclaim his faithfulness. And that matters to God, and the psalmist knows it. This is fair exchange. If God rescues the psalmist will praise God and proclaim his faithfulness. That's called reciprocating. In the next two verses, we read how this ends. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. If you want to make a deal with God, don't promise great acts of sacrifice. Promise him to thank that you will thank him openly and not be silent. This happens in quite a few other psalms too. We don't necessarily have to feel thankful to thank God. Don't lie to God. Don't fake anything. On a dark day, you can still say this honestly. God, to this very day, you have given me a body and the clothes my body needs. To this very day, you have given me life and the food my life needs. God, you have promised my body and soul the best future for all eternity. And here and now, you are with me every day. You have a right to my honor, and you are worthy of all my service. I worship you and I praise you. You've been unbelievably kind, and you do this every single day. Thank you, God, and again, thank you. In those lines, you have not said one word to God about how you feel. You just told God the truth. So start with that. You'll probably feel better after you say it, but that's not the point. Start with that. That's reciprocating, thanking God because he's earned it and we owe it. Romans 1 gives us a scripture about using thanks to educate ourselves. Here's what Paul writes. Although people knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened because they didn't give thanks to God or glorify him. What happens if we rarely thank God? We know him in a sense, but if we are not thanking and praising God for what he has done and is doing and has promised to do, if that's the case, then our thinking becomes empty and our foolish hearts get dark. We don't feel like that, of course. It feels like we're smart as ever, maybe more so. We feel like we're being honest about hard realities. We feel like the thankful people are naive, but it's not true about us being as smart as ever. We ourselves become foolish and dark. So let's give God glory and thank him to enlighten ourselves and to shine the truth of deep reality on our minds and into each other's minds. At these times of honoring and thanking God and giving God his due credit for how kind and faithful he's been, at those times we're actually experiencing true relationship with God. It may or may not feel special, but in fact, it is pure and true relationship with God. God is immensely faithful every single day, even through our hard times. And the only way to absorb that and to get our heads around it is to thank him. That's the only way we can actually make his daily faithfulness real in our own minds and hearts, is to be thanking him. And the alternative is to become foolish and dark. So we thank and honor God to educate ourselves about how life actually works. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good to them, because the Most High is kind to the grateful and the is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Will God stop doing good to us if we are ungrateful and wicked? No. God is kind to all, no matter what. The thing is, I would have thought that wicked was much worse than ungrateful. Jesus viewed ungrateful and wicked as a pair that belong together. Being ungrateful is a more serious problem than I thought. And thankfulness is more important than I thought. Why do we have food? I'm going to talk now about Genesis 1 for a few minutes. But you don't need to turn there. Why do we have food? In Genesis 1, God made a deal with the human race, male and female humans. He blessed them, and then he told them what to do. "I bless you," he said. "Now, have a lot of children and fill the earth, and I will provide the food." Is that complicated? Not really. In Genesis 9, after all kinds of sin and the flood, God spoke to Noah and Noah's family, and he blessed him, and he told them what to do. It's the same again. "I bless you," God said. "Now have a lot of children and fill the earth, and I will provide the food." So people, why do we have enough food? God blesses us. Male and female keep having children and filling the earth, and God keeps providing the food. We have food because God provides. And you might say, "I have food because I work hard for it." And that's true, but that's not the whole story. Listen to Moses, to people who think like that. Moses said, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But," says Moses, "remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." If we work hard and produce, it is because God gave us energy and strength and ability to work hard and produce. We must not say to ourselves, see what I have done? We should say, see what God has given. Other people, through no choice of their own, do not have energy or strength or ability. And those who do have these things are not better people. This is all God's provision. And Jesus was real clear in Matthew 6 that food and clothes and shelter come from God. Bodies and the clothes they need come from God. Life and the food life needs comes from God to everyone on earth. You know, whatever problems we have that stop us from being thankful, if all of a sudden we did not have food or clothes or shelter, we would forget about those old other problems and we would just pray fervently for food and clothes and shelter, and we would be thankful when we got them. We have them because God is faithful, so let's give him his due and let's shine the truth into our minds and our hearts. The three Thanksgiving festivals. Now we're going to talk a little more about Moses in the Old Testament. We have Thanksgiving once a year, the second weekend in October, and we time it so that most of our fields and gardens have been harvested. And we thank God now at Thanksgiving for the food he provided in our fields and our gardens. The Israelites did that three times a year. According to Leviticus 23, they had seven festivals a year, but for three of those festivals, they had to go to wherever the tabernacle was set up, or the temple once it was built, and there they would meet God at the temple, and everyone would show up before God three times a year. And those three central festivals were all timed around their agricultural year. Three different Thanksgiving festivals, each one a full week long. So in Palestine, at least in those years, they had two growing seasons. The winter was cooler and wetter, and during the winter months they grew grain, mostly barley and wheat. This they harvested from April to June. And then summer was hot and dry, and at the end of the summer, October, like we're in now, they harvested olives and grapes and figs and other things that needed a long hot summer. So the first Thanksgiving, the festival, was the festival of first fruits. First fruits happened at the very beginning of the barley harvest, the first grain to ripen. So that happened at the same time as Passover, our Easter. So they took the first part of the barley harvest, the first fruits, and they brought it to God at the temple, and they offered it to God as a gift. And they were not to eat any of that new barley harvest until after they had offered the first fruits, the first part of the harvest, to God, to thank him for his faithfulness in providing again. So that was their first Thanksgiving festival, first fruits, and at the same time they observed Passover and unleavened bread. The second Thanksgiving was the festival of harvest, also Pentecost, in Exodus 23 and Leviticus 23. After the festival of first fruits, the first Thanksgiving, the beginning of the barley harvest, they went home and counted off 7 weeks, and they came back for Pentecost 50 days later, which Exodus 23 calls the festival of harvest. And here they celebrated the wheat harvest. So this would happen more or less in the first part of June. So that's their second Thanksgiving, the festival of harvest at the end of the wheat harvest. And the third Thanksgiving was the festival of ingathering, also known as the festival of tabernacles. So they went home after Pentecost. They went home for the summer, and then they came back in the fall to thank God for the grape and olive and fig harvest. This was their third pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which they called the festival of tabernacles. But Exodus twice calls this the festival of ingathering. Festival of ingathering. This was the end of the crop year and sort of the the third, the climax of the three Thanksgivings. So the emphasis was joy, and they thanked God for all they had harvested that year. And at the same time, the Festival of Tabernacles reminded them again of God leading them out of Egypt. So what this boils down to, and this is the point I'm trying to make, their worship year was built around Thanksgiving. They honored God for rescuing them from Egypt and for giving them the land. And they honored God twice for the winter crop, once before it was harvested and then again after. And they honored God in the seventh month for the summer crop. So their worship year went like this, to reciprocate, to give God praise and thanks. God had rescued them from Egypt and given them land, and every year God gave them their spring harvest and their fall harvest. So they returned to God to honor and thank Him. That's how a good relationship between God and people works. And their worship year also educated them, as we worship and give thanks to educate us. So no one would become foolish and say, my skill and my energy and ability have produced this wealth for me. Rather, we will remember the Lord our God, because He gives us skill and energy and the ability to produce what we have done. We have food and clothing and shelter because God is incredibly faithful. Let's give thanks. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God Most High, that we do not know about hunger. There's food in our refrigerators and our cupboards and our stores. You have been so faithful in this, and we give you honor and praise. We have clothing and shelter which we receive from your hand. We could not possibly, O God, have a more faithful provider than you have been to us. We are grateful. We give you praise and honor. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.